The movement to decriminalize sex work has been getting a lot of national attention lately. Even presidential candidates have started taking a position on the controversial topic, and a few states are proposing bills that could decriminalize some forms of sex trade. Most recently, though, D.C. leaders heard from both advocates and opponents of a bill that, if passed, would make the district the only U.S. jurisdiction to decriminalize sex work outside of some counties in Nevada. I asked Anna North, a senior reporter at Vox, about all this, starting with exactly what decriminalization actually means in practice.
People mean a few different things when they talk about decriminalization, but typically sex workers' rights advocates, when they say that term, they really mean decriminalizing both the selling and the buying of sex. So we're talking really about repealing or changing laws against prostitution. One thing that's important to note is that none of these decriminalization efforts would make it legal to solicit an underage person for sex or to do sex trafficking where someone is non-consensually trafficked into sex work.
So when we think about the latest bill that's in D.C., where does that bill stand right now and what's it specifically asking for?
So the bill had a hearing earlier this month, which sort of put the issue into the news a little bit more. Currently, the bill's awaiting a vote. It's not clear when or if it will get one. But essentially, that bill is asking for decriminalization of sex work within the district.
Why D.C.? Do we know? Is this the first time D.C. has tried to make this push before?
D.C. has tried to make this push at least once before. It didn't work. But it's not the only place in the country where this is being tried. New York has made efforts to do this. There are bills proposed in Maine and Massachusetts, and I believe elsewhere too. So really, activists around the country are starting to push for this.
Internationally, have we seen efforts to do this?
Yes. So actually, New Zealand did decriminalize sex work a few years back and removing criminal penalties around selling and buying. And we have some research showing that in some ways, conditions for sex workers did improve. And New Zealand also found one concern that a lot of opponents of decriminalization have is that sex trafficking would increase. New Zealand did not find that to be the case.
So let's talk a little bit about why this is happening now. What's changed in the national conversation around sex work to make this these issues now part of policy?
You know, that's a great question. Folks have told me that it's really part of larger social justice movements. So things like Black Lives Matter and even the Women's March, you know, together, a lot of these broad-based social justice movements have really made people think about workers' rights, gender justice, racial justice, economic justice, all kind of together. And that has raised interest in things like sex workers' rights, which a lot of people say is a gender justice and a racial justice and an economic justice issue.
On the economic justice front, I mean, there are some folks who say this is going to lower the cost. I mean, if you decriminalize it, more people can do it, and it'll ultimately lower the cost and the price for these services. Is that something that people are thinking about, or are they thinking more about the safety and of the workers involved?
So I think a primary driver of a lot of interest in decriminalization among sex workers and sex workers' rights groups has been around safety and also just sort of working conditions. So right now, with sex work being illegal, people who do sex work are constantly exposed to police. So that means potential for police violence. It also means potential for arrest. You could go to jail. You could go to prison in some states. You could pay a fine. And then, of course, there's everything associated with being arrested. So having a record, having to go to court, which might mean you miss school, you miss childcare, you can't pay your bills, all these kinds of things. Sex workers say these are really interrupting their lives and having a real financial as well as, emotional and health and all sorts of costs to them. And I think that's the primary driver around why they'd like to see this decriminalized.
So let's talk a little bit about the opposition to this, because I think this is a place where sex trafficking comes into the equation. And I'd love if you could sort of explain how that connection is being made by opponents to the bill, and if there are other things that people oppose when it comes to decriminalization.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things to note here. One is that and I've found this to change a little over the years also. It used to be that there were a number of groups that really wanted it to remain illegal both to sell sex and to buy sex. Now you see much more broad agreement around that it should not be criminal to sell sex. A lot of feminist groups say the same. A lot of anti-trafficking groups say the same. A lot of people want to remove penalties on the selling of sex. It's really the buying of sex that remains the sticking point for a lot of people, and I've seen two main objections. One is this sort of more conceptual objection saying if we make it legal primarily for men to buy sex, then we're saying it's okay to put a price on someone's body. Often, people in this context are often talking about women, and they're saying that this sends a message that it's okay to put a price on a woman's body. Another is the idea that if we decriminalize the buying of sex, it will drive up demand and that will increase trafficking, or that this in some way might make it harder to fight trafficking. And so there are a variety of anti-trafficking groups that have opposed decriminalization for that reason.
When we look at the anti-sex trafficking groups, have they gained any traction in opposing these bills?
Yeah, there's been an interesting debate regarding the sort of trafficking piece of this. Sex workers' rights advocates have sort of pushed back and said, well, actually, these bills will make it easier to fight trafficking. They say that the people who are most likely to know about trafficking are sex workers themselves, that they're if they're working on the street or they're working somewhere, they see someone who's not there of their own volition, that they might be able to report that. But right now they can't, because if they report anything to the cops, they risk arrest. So that's the response there. But the anti-trafficking groups certainly have gotten attention, and a lot of them were at the hearing earlier this month in D.C. being very vocal about their position.
Is there a morality opposition here? Are there people who are saying, we just shouldn't do this because we're a Christian nation, or this is anti-woman or anti-man or anti-marriage or anything like that? Or does that not even factor into the equation anymore?
Certainly, there are plenty of groups who are against sex work whole cloth from a moral perspective. I think we might see that come into play a little more if decriminalization efforts happen more in purple or red states. Right now, we're seeing it in a lot of blue states and very blue cities within blue states. And so it tends to be a debate between, you know, say, feminist groups and anti-trafficking advocates and sex workers' rights advocates. If this starts to happen, you know, in places where the political climate is different, we're going to see a different argument.
And of course, we can't let you go without asking a question about the presidential candidates 2020. Have any of them so far taken a stance on sex work?
This has actually been really fascinating to me as a reporter, because I've covered this issue off and on for a long time. And I didn't necessarily expect to see candidates take a position on this, you know, leading into the 2020 election. But in fact, several have. The positions haven't been very detailed. But I will say that multiple candidates have said they're open to decriminalization, including Senators Warren and Sanders and Senator Harris, and I believe Senator Booker also. So a number of the candidates in this race have actually said, you know, they haven't said, here's my 10-point plan for decriminalization.
Not even Elizabeth Warren?
Not even Elizabeth Warren.
Okay.
But they have said they're open to it.
Anna North, senior reporter at Vox, thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Now we're going to get one sex worker's perspective on those efforts. Monica Jones is a Black trans sex worker and advocate and the founder of the Outlaw Project.
As a young 21-year-old who just moved out of their grandparents' house, I was living in a studio apartment, sleeping on the couch, and that's all I had. And I met this guy at a bar, and I was going to hook up with him anyways, but offered money. I was like, wow, I can get paid for this. And I got into it from right then and there.
Tell us how you went from doing sex work and then how you expanded into advocacy work and the kind of work you do today.
I think it's a continuation, because like sex work is work. And how I got into advocacy work, a friend of mine says like, wow, you're a really great person. You should try counseling. And what I heard was social work. And so I got into social work, but also I was like, during the same time being a Black trans woman, realizing there's some serious issues with the way that the system of oppression is set up, and felt that I shouldn't be arrested for just surviving in this world, especially in a right to work state. And so became speaking about it then.
You said just recently, you said sex work is work.
It is.
Why did you say that? Why did you think that was an important distinction to make?
Because I feel that people don't understand that sex work is one of the oldest profession, and it's a legitimate form of work, and it's recognized in several countries as a legitimate form of work. And here in the U.S., it's not recognized. And what happened is that people are being arrested and goes into this mass incarceration system where our bodies are profited off because we're in prison because we had to survive.
So you've had contact with law enforcement, right? You've been arrested in the past. What have they been like for you generally?
They were violence, right? And so like any time that any person has, especially a Black trans woman, have interactions with the police, there's a power dynamic, there's misgendering happen. These issues impact trans women. So like my interaction with the police, misgendered, called a freak, court system set up in a face where even if you're going in there to fight the charge, you are already presumed guilty. And so the system is set up for you to plead guilty. And it's this revolving door out of the court systems, and like especially in Arizona, where we have a minimal jail sentence for your first offense is 15 days, third offense is 30 days, then it goes up to a year in prison.
And so what's the long-term effect of that contact with law enforcement, of having essentially a criminal record, right? Because that goes on your record.
The long-term effect is like, say if you want to get out of sex work and get a 9-to-5 job, as anyone would say, you can't because everyone looks at your background. And like, I have a degree in social work, and during my time of field placement, it was really hard for me to find a field placement because of my arrest. And if people want to understand is that because you're arrested, that means you can't really get a good job. And being a trans woman, that means your options of jobs are very limited. And even like, hey, I get a job at McDonald's or a fast food joint, there I might face transphobia, sexual harassment, and everything else. And so sex work became like the best options for so many trans women and so many women and so many LGBT youth.
Well, let's talk a little bit about decriminalizing sex work and what the goals of that work are. What are you hoping to achieve when you're fighting to decriminalize sex work? And we'll talk about sex trafficking and how that plays into it in just a moment.
For decriminalization, what we're really hoping for the long-term goal is that it's recognized as a legitimate form of work, and that to minimize the harm of being arrested and having where if you face violence from a client or someone else, you can go file a police report and the police will have to follow up. And it's looked at as a legitimate form of work.
There are folks who also who want to push back against decriminalization and say that part of the reason why is because by making it not a crime, that it might encourage people to get involved in sex work, that it might move people to sex work rather than away from it. Does that matter? Should that matter, Monica, in your experience?
No, it does not matter, because like if you decriminalize it, it's a legit form of work. And it's all the right to choose to work, right? I think people have the right to work in the industry or in the business that they choose. And it should not be deterred because of anyone, spiritual our emotional belief about sex work.
In your personal experience and when you look at sex workers as a whole, do you see differences in how law enforcement treats different kinds of sex workers? For example, being a black trans woman versus being a white woman?
I think that's just society as a whole, especially just like having your access to privilege, right? And so the farther you up the totem pole, the less violence you may experience. But as black trans women, being invisible and being black, being trans, those are the things that impact us. And that's what makes us more susceptible to violence.
One other thing that, you know, we think about when we think about decriminalizing is, would it also open up avenues for healthcare without feeling like you're putting yourself in danger?
Having access to adequate healthcare systems is crucial, but also having agency over your own body, right? And so like not being told when to be tested and not have the testing forced upon you, but actually like, hey, I need to get tested. What we see a lot is that condoms are used as evidence to prove that someone was sex working. And so, and that's basically like with street-based economy.
And would it make it easier for law enforcement to focus on things like sex trafficking if sex work were decriminalized? In other words, they wouldn't be looking for sex workers, but they'd be able to work more closely with sex workers in identifying people who are doing this work against their own will.
Yes, and I think who would know, whose traffic clients would know if someone's being trafficked? They can say like, hey, I saw this girl and she looked like she was trafficked, or I saw this guy who looked like they were trafficked. And so making sure that people are safe to come forward and identify traffic victims, and making sure that traffic victims can come forward without fear of being arrested.
Are you hopeful that this is something that will happen at some point? I mean, as we know, the bill is making its way through Washington, D.C. right now.
Yes, because a lot of cities are going after decrim. And so I think that it's like this amazing thing where you might not see it in one city, but you might see it in some other city. Hopefully that sex work gets recognized as work.
Monica Jones is a Black trans sex worker and advocate and founder of the Outlaw Project.